Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 6 years as radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
He's everywhere! He's everywhere!
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do on my website as well. Hundreds of articles, thousands of archives, hundreds of Brain Trust members, lots of stuff that you can do there, including check out our guest this half hour, David Scherer, who's a member of our Brain Trust and one of the guys who helps us understand how to manage our cash flow. And he and his brother Martin are the author of a book, How to Collect Debts and Still Keep Your Customers. And David is the president of AmShare Receivables Management, along with his brother. And he's a professional in the world of collecting receivables. David, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate you having me.
It's good to have you back, as always. David, let's talk a little bit about your industry. And I mean, you're in the business of helping people collect the debts that are owed to them. You do that in, I think you do that, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves, you do that in 2 ways. You help them collect current debts, and you help them collect debts that where people just won't pay them. Is that right?
Right. Two different ways. The typical collection agency that most people think of is when a company is unable to collect their own debts, that they find another company like ours, AmShare, to collect the accounts, and we do that usually as they were a bad debt. Mm-hmm. But the other way that we collect debts is sometimes filling in as the collection department itself, and then collecting in the name of our company where we're totally invisible.
Right. And now talk to us about how how business is in terms of the industry right now. In 2004, has cash flow been improved for companies, do you think, over, say, where it was in 01, 02?
I really do believe it has improved. I think companies are doing better than they have in the past, and their cash flow is better. I think industry-wide, if you talk to our trade association for the collection agencies, is called the American Collectors Association International, ACA. And ACA statistics indicate that placement of bad debts is down from previous years, but collectability of those placements is up. So I think that things are somewhat better.
So that's good news for the marketplace, maybe not so much good news for your industry?
Well, I think that it tends out to be somewhat neutral for our industry, because you can have, if the economy's bad, we get more accounts to collect.
Right.
But the collectability is down somewhat.
Right.
If the economy is good, then the amount of placements or accounts that we get to collect is down, but the collectability is up. And so they kind of tend to balance each other out.
One of the things, David, that we try to do on this show, as you know, is help small business owners understand the operating fundamentals as much as we can, how to understand and to manage with the proper operating fundamentals. And one of those fundamentals that's got to be, you know, if not the very top of the list, second or no farther down than second, and that's understanding this relationship between the growth of our business and our cash flow. That's a real critical thing to understand, isn't it?
I would say that if you looked at many businesses that don't do well or end out in bankruptcy, one of the big problems is that they run out of cash. It could be that they're doing everything else right,
including maybe even being profitable.
Oh yeah, I mean, just because you're profitable doesn't necessarily mean that your cash flow is good. And businesses oftentimes get in trouble because they grow too fast, and the cash flow is just not keeping up with their growth. They're having to reinvest in their business at a greater level than the amount of cash that they have. And so anytime you look at a business plan, and this is usually the biggest fallacy I see when looking at business plans, his companies don't take into effect what their cash flow looks like, the fact that they will have slow payers or people who are not paying much at all, and they don't factor that in, and that's just enough to get them in big trouble.
If you could teach, if somebody said, okay, I want you to teach me one lesson right now about being a better business owner, wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you want to sit them down and teach them to understand the relationship between accounts receivable days and accounts payable days?
Right. I think that you would want to take a look at your You know, when you do a pro forma income statement, oftentimes it doesn't take into consideration what the cash needs of the business are.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you would want to do is try to do a projected cash flow statement also.
Hold on to that thought, Dave. We're going to let you finish that when we come back after these messages. That's Carlos Santana on the guitar telling us we need to go out for a few minutes. We'll be right back. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back with our good friend, David Scherr. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad David Scherr is here, too, because he's such a smart guy when it comes to managing our cash flow and helping us understand how these things work. David, and by the way, folks, his company's name is Am Scherr. The book that he and his brother Rose call How to Collect Debts and Still Keep Your Customers. And David, I'd like to encourage, I know the book's been out a while and maybe even currently out of print. Although, folks, you might be able to find it on eBay. You might be able to find it as a used book on Amazon. If you do, I encourage you to buy it. But I'd like to encourage you and your brother to re-release your book. This is an important book, David.
Right. They sold out of it, and it was published by the American Management
Association. AMERCOM, yeah, they're good folks.
And so we're looking at the possibilities of updating the book and republishing.
Well, I hope you do, and let me know what I can do to help, because this is an important book. David, one of the things that let's get back into this, you were talking about the cash flow, I interrupted you. I'm not sure if you were through or not with your thought, but or if you remember where you were. but what I wanted to throw out this. Let me throw out this point. People who think that they want to grow at 10% a year. You know, if you said to somebody, "How much do you want to grow this year?" "Oh, we budgeted to grow 10%." Okay. Well, but what's your net profit? "Oh, we put about 2% on the bottom line of sales." Okay, so you're going to grow 10%. Your net profit's 2%. Where are you going to fund the rest of that? What's it going to take for you to fund the rest of that? And then they're going to say, "Well, I'm going to And I think a lot of people don't realize that when you grow, you've got to fund that with some real cash. You can't profit your way into growth by funding your growth with profit, can you?
No, you absolutely cannot. That's why, as I was kind of stating before, that's why you need to kind of do cash flow projections in addition to doing your income pro forma. You need to go through and take a look at how long, different industries, the cash flow varies. Some companies, you have to pay your invoices fairly quickly, and some give, because of competition, you have to give 30, 60, or 90 days. Well, if that's the industry that you're in and you're having to wait for your cash for long periods of time, you can't pay your bills with your receivables. It actually has to turn back into cash for you to be able to pay your bills.
Well, here's what happens, David. The big business that we're doing business with, they get to pay you whenever they want to pay you, and if you're lucky, you'll get it in 45 days many times, right?
Right.
But you're a small company, and that means that they're going to cut you off after 30 days if you don't pay your bill in 30 days. And so that's the old dance between accounts receivable days and accounts payable days. And just like in almost everything else that happens in the marketplace, small business owners get squeezed, don't they?
Absolutely. And so, and that's one of the big dilemmas that a lot of small companies have, because you want to do business with big companies who can give you lots of volumes. And those are the very companies that will use the money that they owe you. They'll keep it for themselves until the very last minute.
They'll fund their own growth with that, won't they?
Right. And that's how they fund their own growth, and they leave you sitting there with cash flow problems, having trouble paying your bills. And you have to, you know, factor that into it. The bigger the company, sometimes the slower the pay are. That doesn't mean you won't get paid, but you don't generally get paid in a timely fashion.
When, you know, I keep mentioning accounts receivable days and accounts payable days. I remember 20 years or so years ago when I was introduced to that little scenario of the differences between those two and how to calculate those numbers. I remember how much my eyes were opened, how much the veil of ignorance was lifted from me when I saw that my accounts payable days might be 29 and a half, my accounts receivable days might be 40 and a half or something like that. And so that meant I had 10 days of my full business that I had to operate on some kind of cash from somewhere.
Right, and that can be very tough. That can be very tough. There's lots of business people who've lost sleep when you get to your weekend or whatever it is that you have to pay your payroll and look into your cash balance and find out that it's lacking there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of what you have to do as a small business person is to work with when you get a new account, get over your expectations of payment. Let them know what the arrangements are going to be and then follow up on those expectations to make sure they pay when they promise.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of people don't do. Companies are so interested in making sales, they don't bother to talk about what the payment arrangements are going to be. And then when your customer doesn't pay in a timely fashion, a lot of it's your fault because you never told them what the rules of the game were.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to kind of get over your expectations of payment. And then if the company doesn't pay you according to what they're supposed to, you want to be quick to get on the phone and talk to them about getting that payment in there.
You've told us before what the attrition rate is after certain periods of time. Would you remind us of that?
Sure. What it is basically once an account becomes delinquent.
Meaning beyond?
Meaning once it becomes past due, as however you generally define mm-hmm. past due, that the chances of collecting that account drop 12% per month. So what that means on a practical basis is if the account is 90 days past due, which is 3 months, the chances of collecting that account have already dropped by 36%.
Wow. So basically that means if you have X amount of dollars out in that category, just multiply that by 64%, and that's all you're going to collect if you at that moment.
Right. On average, that's
yeah,
the
on average.
The
Stand
works.
By, David. We're going to come back to this, folks. This is really important stuff that could help you survive, actually. Tintil. We'll be right back with David Scher. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend David Scher. He's the president of AmpShare. David, tell us how we can contact you if we wanted to check out your website and contact you to use your company's services.
Okay, well, first of all, my name is David Scher, and it's spelled S-H-E-R. The name of the company is AmpShare, A-M, capital S-H-E-R. And our website is www.AmpShare.com. So it's fairly easy to get to our website. My contact information is on the website itself.
And so if somebody wanted to use your services, typically it would be something along the lines of handing over the hard-to-collect receivables or other kinds of debts.
Right. And the way that it works is that we get a percentage of what we collect. If we don't collect anything, then the company doesn't pay us anything.
Right. And what about current receivables? Are you guys doing that as well?
Yes. Yeah.
You have another a product that, along those lines too, don't you? These are where you collect with current good customers.
Right. We have actually two different companies. One company is called AmpShare Collection Services. That's a typical third-party bad debt collection agency.
Right.
And the other is called AmpShare Outsourcing, where we collect in our client's name.
You basically become the accounts receivable division for a small business.
Right. We do all their collection calls for them.
Right.
So they
that's
don't have
a, That's a
so
great.
They don't have to worry about it, right?
That's a great example of productive outsourcing, ladies and gentlemen. That I certainly recommend to small business owners that they not only receivables but anything that's not your core competency. You know, try to let somebody who's a professional do those things, and you know, try to work that into your budget and see if that can't make sense for you, because it's just a smart thing to do, David. I think the key to success in the 21st century is focusing on your knitting and letting other people focus on their knitting.
I think you're exactly right, and we believe in that too. I mean, we feel that our core competency is making telephone calls. So we've invested a huge amount of money in being able to call people. In fact, we make about 40 or 50,000 calls a day.
Wow.
On the other hand, we also send out lots of mail, but we don't do any of the mail sending ourselves. We outsource that out to another company.
Mm-hmm.
So we know what we do best, and that is call people up and ask them for money. And then that's what we try to spend all our efforts on. Everything else we try to see if we can give to somebody else.
Now there are a lot of people, there are people listening all over the world right now, David, not only on the radio in North America, but on the internet worldwide. And so if they wanted to do business, obviously you can do business with people anywhere, but there are people who do what you do all over the world. Give us an example of what we should look for. What's the kind of criteria we should look for if we're looking for somebody to do what you do?
Okay, well, there's probably an endless supply of criteria that you would want to use. One, we're members of the American Collectors Association, our trade association. I wouldn't consider doing business with somebody that doesn't. And there's probably the American Collectors Association has 3,000 to 3,500 members, so it's not there's not any lack of companies
right.
to check from. Second of all, we're licensed in all 50 states. You can't necessarily collect in all states unless you have licenses there,
okay.
So you want to make sure that the licensing capabilities are there.
At least that the licensing capability has the same footprint as your business.
Correct. Because oftentimes, if you're going to turn over accounts and the company can't collect there, obviously it didn't do any
right.
good.
That's a good question that a lot of people wouldn't know to ask. All right, what's the next one?
I would say that, and this would be true of just about any kind of business that you'd want to do business with, you would want to check references. That would certainly be important. Also, we're one of 20 companies that collection agencies in the United States that are certified by the American Collectors Association. That means that we have gone through all the efforts to put we write down all the jobs that we have to do and audit the work that we do, and there's an independent audit to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do.
So of all the collection companies in the country, there are only 20 certified?
There's only 20, because it's
wow.
fairly time-consuming and costly to do that, but when someone turns an account over to us, they know that the work's going to get done. Also,
right.
in our particular case, on our website, a client can go to our website and see what work is being done on their accounts, so they can know what calls were being made, what
now
letters
were sent. That's a great feature that would be awfully handy. That's a way to be able to help yourself, isn't it? I mean, not to even rely on your service, but that's a way for the client to be able to take care to help manage their own receivables.
Yeah, oftentimes a manager will turn over accounts to a collection agency and they have no idea if anything was
how
ever done on those accounts.
That's a great resource. David, we got to wrap it up. This has been great. It's always good to have you on the show, and I really appreciate your time and your information.
You're quite welcome, Jim. Thank you again for having us.
We'll see you next time. David Scherer, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.